How are things at the hockey hall these days?
They're very good. We're working. I'm doing my best to get some Blackhawks inducted, but let me see. Young Savard was the last one, and he was very exceptional and well worth it.
Probably the next one might be Eddie Belfour, because I think Chelios, I don't know if he's ever officially retired.
Yeah, I know. And Eddie Belfour, this is the first year he's up for, you know, I think he played a little bit in Europe, so he's been out of the game for 3 years now, so he's eligible.
How do you like his chances?
Well, I like them. Sure I do. It's we got 18 solid guys on the selection committee, but he's been a Hall of Famer throughout his whole career.
What jersey would he wear when he goes in? Is there, like, baseball where the majority of your games played is the jersey you have to wear, or hockey?
No, he picks. He can choose whatever he wants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is good.
What do you remember about that 60-61 season? Is there a favorite moment of yours?
Well, sure. The favorite moment, naturally, is winning the Stanley Cup in Detroit. But the exciting thing about the whole season and our team was how well we played together, what good friends we were, the families. And we were just there playing and wanting to play and wanting to win. We didn't worry about money. We didn't worry too much about what Rudy Pillis was talking about. We just went out and we're smarter than the guys we played against and had the best goalie that ever played the game.
Now, playing on the same line with Bobby Hull, does that mean you didn't see the puck very much?
No, I had the puck all the time. I just told Bobby to stay in front of the net. I'll get it to him, and he'd shoot it in.
Okay.
And Murray helped get it out of the corner. He was a tough guy.
There was a lot of
I fooled around a little bit with it, and then Bobby shot in the goal.
There was a lot of dispute who the best player on the Hawks at that time was, whether it was Glenn Hall, Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita. Do you have an opinion?
Well, I have an opinion, but
you can tell us.
Well, sure, I'll tell you. By far, Glenn Hall was the most valuable guy on our team, and the best hockey player I played with was Stan. Bobby was the most exciting, but Stan had the most natural ability and the will to win.
Now, you guys got to play against some pretty good talent back in the day. Guy got like Gordie Howe. How would you compare Gordie to Bobby?
Oh, Gordie was tougher, meaner. He would do anything to win, and he had Teddy Lindsay playing with him. They were tough guys, and they won tough, you know. When we had to play him, Eric Nesterenko and I had to check that Howe line, and it wasn't easy because Gordy didn't like anybody checking him. One of my favorite stories is when Bobby Murray and I got together Christmas time of the first year, and we started to click pretty good, and after about four games in New York, Rudy asked us if we would be able to check the Howe Delvecchio-Lindsay line if he put us on against them, and I told Rudy to go into their dressing room and ask them if they think they were good enough to check us. That's how cocky we were when we were playing then.
It's good to be young like that, isn't it?
Yeah, sure it is. It's great.
Is there a reason you only won one Stanley Cup?
Well, I'll say we might have got a little selfish after the first one. Players were developing. Salaries were increasing. All-stars were being talked about. The leadership was dragging a little bit. Dollard Saint-Laurent was aging, you know, but we should have won more by far.
You were just a kid then, and I'm sure you come into the league, you win a Stanley Cup, you say, okay, this is the way life is supposed to be.
Yes.
And
yes.
There'll be two or three more by the time my 10 or 15-year career is done.
We had enough talent. Yeah, we had good talent then.
It seems like hockey was more a Canadian sport back then, and basically in the U.S. it was just an afterthought, or am I wrong on that?
Well, then it was because they didn't have the development that they do now, but once they recognized college players, and I came out of Colorado College to play with the Hawks, they started developing college teams and minor hockey, the grassroots, in those different areas, you know. Even in the Chicago region, they've got good development, and with the alumni of the Blackhawks, they really help the game.
Now, with the expansion of hockey and the globalization of the sport, How would you compare the talent level now to then?
Well, there were more good players playing the game then than there are now. You know, you've got two or three or four maybe in each team, but the last five or six, you know, are there to fill a sweater. You know, when we played, you had six teams. You had 120 players and 100 played. So you had very, very good players waiting to take your job. So, you know, you healed in the summertime. You didn't take time off when you were hurt.
No, it seemed like you look at the roster of every team back then, and, you know, there's at least two or three Hall of Famers on each squad, it seems.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
Were you back for the finals last summer when the Hawks played?
No, I wasn't. But we went to a reunion in Chicago a couple of months ago where they had it at the Hilton, and that was very, very good.
It seems like Glenn was kind of like the forgotten man. I mean, they kept talking about bringing out these former players from 61. You'd see Hull and Makita, but it seems like they just completely forgot about Glenn Hall, who you and Pierre Plotch just said was the best player on that team.
Yeah. Well, Glenn is a quiet guy in Stony Plain, and he doesn't have his own PR department, you know. But he is outstanding, and he's very smart, and a nice family, and his wife, Pauline, who's since passed on a year ago, she was the leader of the girls, you know, and they all got along so well. And that was one of the things I remember. They were all close, and we're just raising kids, you know.
Now, in your capacity with the Hall of Fame, can you still have that Blackhawks bias?
I sure do. even when I ran the Calgary Flames, I had to shower by myself because I had the Indian head tattooed on my rear end.
You got a tattoo on your butt of the Hawk?
I know. And I still got it on. Oh, sure. I've got more Blackhawk pictures hanging around the Hockey Hall of Fame on the wall than you can imagine.
Okay, we'll take your word on the tattoo. You don't have to show us.
All right, okay.
I think we got on the line now the man behind the mask, actually the man without a mask, one of the top two goalies, all the surveys say, in NHL history. He played in 502 consecutive games. A guy that Pierre Plotch told us earlier, and Bill Hay, who's on the phone now, is saying was the key, the best player in that 60-61 team, Glenn Hall. How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Glenn, we've got your teammate Bill Hay on the phone.
Glenn, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Great to talk to you.
I didn't realize they were going to repeat that choice of mine to you, but... you know, I'd like to clear things up, but I don't want to do it while you're on the phone.
I know how you're like that. Thank you.
Glenn, what do you remember about that 60-61 season? Is there a favorite moment of yours?
Oh, certainly. When the bell rang at the last game, that would be the moment. It was a tough game, and like I say, we had a bunch of dedicated hockey players who worked hard, and it was nice to get results.
Now, Glenn, after you win the Stanley Cup, did you figure there were more to come?
We had better teams after we won the Stanley Cup, and you're always hoping for, and I think we were getting better, but it was obvious that the opposition was getting better also.
Why was the opposition? I mean, was just the talent level coming from college, like Bill was saying, or what was going on at that time?
Well, Montreal had an unbelievably good team, and they were good in both ends of the rink. Toronto were great defensively. I don't know if we ever got a rebound in Toronto. It was tough. The defensemen simply picked up rebound, and Bauer was as good as anybody at the first shot. So
for some reason, we struggled a little bit trying to win in the playoffs too.
Keep going.
Yeah, the other guys raised their game a little, and if it hadn't been for you and the way you played in 61, Gould, we wouldn't have won then either.
Well, I thank you for that, but we all played well. We all had exceptional. Maybe career series, and led by your line with Murray and Bobby and Murray Belfer. I think Murray was the leading scorer. He certainly got several big, big goals for us.
Now, was there a particular save during the Cup Finals that stands out in your mind?
Not really, no. They talk now today about, don't give up a rebound, don't give up a rebound. And I say the greatest thing a goalkeeper can do is give rebounds, and that's what he's supposed to do.
Bill, we'll let you get going. We really appreciate you staying on with us for the 15 minutes.
Thank you. It's always nice to be chatting with Glenn, too. So thank you for your call, and good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bill, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, go.
Glenn, when did you decide to start wearing a mask?
Oh, I had thought about it a little bit. I thought, well, my age, I forget how old, but I thought, well, boy, it'd be stupid to lose an eye at this stage of the game, and that was our biggest concern, was the eye injuries, and there were too many. It was puck related. Most of our injuries were puck related.
You look at goalies nowadays, it's like they're dressed in armor and impenetrable attire.
Well, it would be nice to feel that confident in there. I played scared. Like I say, you knew what the puck would do because you'd been hit with it several times. I think the goalkeepers are obviously much more comfortable. They can stay in a crouch, and we used to hitch out of the crouch. So it was tough. I like the equipment if it's there for protection. I hate the big equipment if it's there to stop the puck.
A lot of talk has been made of Brett Favre's consecutive game streak just coming to an end recently. You had Cal Ripken break Lou Gehrig's Iron Man streak. They always talk about those streaks, but never talk about your 502 consecutive games played streak and goal. They said that record will never be broken because no goalie's going to play let alone one whole season without coming out, let alone you're looking six seasons.
Well, yeah, the game was different then, and you have to be lucky. I was lucky, and we also had a great trainer. Nick Guerin was the first trainer who really did a little studying on the anatomy, and so he got you back in, and he stitched as good as any doctor who ever stitched.
Also, isn't there a mental component to all this that, you know, they want to give the goalie a rest mentally as well as physically?
Well, we had the one goalkeeper system then, and so if you had a bad game, you were back in again the next day, so it didn't really matter. You had a chance to come back. If you had two bad games, they were looking around, but you were permitted a bad game, and I think more than a bad game, you were permitted a bad goalie. But the game was certainly different, and you have to be lucky that things turned out the way they did.
So if you would have got hurt, who was your backup? Because I looked at the roster, there was no one listed.
Well, that was the assistant trainer, who part of his job was to practice with the team, and so in those days it was Gunzo, and everybody knows Gunzo, and if you talked about practical jokes, well, the guys would play a lot of practical jokes on Gunzo, and he was a great guy also. And now I seem to be talking about the trainers as much as the players, but the trainers are so important, and what a difficult job they have now and they had in the past.
Now you look at the Blackhawks today, and their team this season is vastly different from last season. You don't have the continuity roster-wise that you did back in your day. So you can't really say that the Blackhawks now are going to build a dynasty, but they have a couple of pretty talented players in Kane and Taze. You think they can build around them enough?
Oh, I'm sure they can. There was the difference. Like when we were talking about Montreal having the powerhouse, they were able to keep their team, and Edmonton, when they had the control of the league, it seemed, and they were able to keep their players, and it is really unfortunate the way that the situation is, that you have to dismantle a good team, in fact a great team, which they proved last year, and I think they're able to come back, and uh, Like I say, you need a nucleus of pretty good players, and they certainly have that.
When you beat Detroit in the Stanley Cup Finals, was there a little extra, like, was there a bigger smile on your face because being that you came from the Red Wings in the late 50s to the Hawks, was it kind of like you stuck it to your old team?
You weren't supposed to think like that, but I suppose I did a little bit. Yes, I felt good. But I had the opportunity when I come from Detroit to Chicago. I knew myself I was a pretty good goalkeeper, but I had to prove it over again when I got to Chicago. And yeah, it was nice winning the Stanley Cup against Detroit.
Could you tell early on that Stan and Bobby would have the careers that they eventually did?
Yeah, you certainly could. No, they were great players right from training camp. I think both of them started at 18 years old, and you knew they were great. I like Louis Angotti used to talk about the difference between Bobby and Stan, and he said, well, you'd be walking through the park and Bobby would mug you and take your wallet, and but if you're walking through and it's Stan there, Stan simply pick your pocket. And that's about the way it was, because Bobby was such power and such great skating, and Stan was a great mind, and his ability to control the puck and to pass the puck. And so there were two great players, and yeah, there was no doubt they were going to be great.
If you were in the park, you'd have gave the guy his money back. You were the true gentleman, everybody says, out of the team.
Well, we'd see about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see any goalies nowadays that stand out in your mind and say, okay, he could have played back in the day and
well,
been pretty good?
I think all the players are better now than they've ever been. And certainly the goalkeepers also, they're better than they've ever been. But I really don't watch that much of the game. I hate the backstabbing, and you see more than I want to see of it. And I'll watch a little bit. If the team that I'm cheering for is winning, I watch a little longer. If they're losing, I turn it off.
Are you coming to Chicago for the 50th anniversary reunion the Hawks are having at the beginning of January?
Yes, yeah, Britain Air can't refuse it. They're doing so much for us lately, and it's almost embarrassing. But, I think that my kids are going to try and come with me, and looking forward to it. The Blackhawks have really, really treated us well, and I'm looking forward to being there.
It's like they took you guys out of mothballs after all this time. Only took them about 50 years, right?
Well, it is 50 years, and that is the reason. But no, it was a great time winning, but it's even though we only won once, it's kind of nice to look back at and think, well, once it would have been nice to have about five or six, but one was enough.